Gee, if I was falter rash, could you untar come and look last girl a shock than a show to meet Tom Comic, of course, it's Ulster final week. And, well, we have an extra half hour, and my special guests in studio tonight are ex Donegal senior player and All Ireland club winner with Termin, Maureen O'Donnell, the well known St. Junan's player and former Donegal player, John Harn, as well. And we've been looking forward to the Ulster final with Adrian Sweeney. And before the news there at 9 o'clock, we all spoke to 3-time Monaghan All Star Eugene Newdy Hughes. And well, John, certainly there seems to be a good air of confidence in the Farney County listening to Eugene there.
Ah, well, I think so, Tom. You know, they sprung a surprise on us in 2013, and, you know, maybe they're thinking last year they didn't perform, and, you know, they're going well enough this year. They had a good league, and they had a good run out against Dublin in the league semi-final and put up a good performance, you know, which isn't easy against the Dubs in Croke Park. And, you know, all right, they haven't set the championship on fire so far, but they're an experienced team, and, you know, Monaghan always believe in themselves, and they're at home turf in Clonus, and as Newdy says, they don't fear Donegal, they never have. You know, we remember them turning us over, was it in 95 in McCool Park, yeah, after we bit down, who were the All-Ireland champions, and we were on a high, and they came and just, you know, snuffed us out, and that was very disappointing. So Monaghan never feared Donegal, and that's probably part of their psyche and their confidence.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those cases, I suppose, the shoe was on the other foot. It was on the other foot, Maureen, in 2013. We were the champions. They came and lowered their colours, and it's back to the other way around again this time.
That's right, Tom. And I mean, as John says there, Monaghan might be thinking they'll be taking a surprise, you know, on Sunday again. And, you know, I suppose with Monaghan, the hunger's a big thing now at this stage. Donegal have nearly achieved. Once you've achieved in an All-Ireland final, it's very hard to come back and motivate yourself mentally and prepare yourself physically and mentally to win back-to-back championships. So, you know, Monaghan will be feeling that they want to win the Ulster final and go on maybe and try and lift the Sam Maguire as well. And that's hunger within their players.
Though it has to be said that, in fairness to the Donegal players, they don't look like a group of players that are lacking in hunger or lacking in appetite.
Well, to be honest, no. At the minute, they're going very, very well. But I suppose they had that rest year there in 2013 after the All-Ireland final, and they're back maybe with a bit of bite now again, you know.
And, of course, the new manager as well. Well, of course, the Ulster final isn't the only final on Sunday. We also have provincial finals in Munster, where that replay between Cork and Kerry is back in Fitzgerald Stadium to Killarney. And, of course, we have that novel pairing in Connacht, where it's Mayo, I think, I'm not quite sure, we'll check in a moment. Is it 5 in a row they're going for in Connacht? They're taking on Sligo, very much the Cinderella, and I suppose a bit like Dublin and Westmeath last week, a somewhat David and Goliath clash, maybe not quite as much so, but to discuss that and also discuss that Ulster final meeting of Donegal and Monaghan, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a regular contributor here as well to our GAA programmes, former Donegal player and Mayo star, Martin Carney. Very good night to you, Martin.
How you doing, Tom?
And obviously, we'll talk about Donegal and Monaghan in a moment, and I know your heart will be in St. Jernach Park on Sunday.
Oh, I'll be there.
You'll be there. You're forsaking the Hyde Park in Roscommon. But talk to me first about Mayo and Sligo. Mayo going in very much like Dublin last week?
Very much so, Tom. I mean, this is the 8th time I think Mayo and Sligo have clashed in Connacht finals, and I think the last time Sligo beat Mayo was in 1975. And funny enough, when Mayo won 2 years, or in 2012, Tom, there was only 2 points between them. I think it was, I'm not sure what the score is. I think it might have been 14 points to 12. But Sligo gave them a very good run for it. And I even remember going back to 2010, Sligo beat them in the first round of the championship. And 13 of the team actually that played, or 13 of the panel that played and togged out and featured against Galway the last day would have played in that game 2 years ago. I just think Mayo will be actually pretty much on their guard for this game. But look at all the circumstances would point to a Mayo win. They have been in the first division for a good while now, Tom. They have been in 2 All-Irelands in the last 4 years. Sligo have been operating out of Division 3. And even though, the game plan they had, for example, the last day against Roscommon, that has been well and truly flagged now, and Mayo will be aware of that. And I would say, you know, the kickouts to the wings, the kind of the defensive formation that Sligo have, Mayo will have had time to actually get used to that and adjust to that and be ready for it. And I just think at the minute there are a number of Mayo players playing very well. The likes of Aidan O'Shea in particular is having a great year both at club and county. And I just think they'll carry a little bit too much power and experience for Sligo, who have quite a number of players playing in their first ever provincial final.
Yeah. What is the word on Mayo? I suppose it's very hard to judge. Have they moved on from last year? Are they good as last year? Have they stood still? And you probably won't know after Sunday either.
No, you won't know after Sunday, but I don't think they have moved on, Tom. If I'm honest about it, I don't think they have moved on. They are going for five in a row, okay, but I just sense in a way there aren't enough new lads coming through to put pressure on the guys that are established there. And I just sense that maybe, I always think from their point of view, that replay in Limerick last year, that to a degree the dream might have died that day. Now, there's no doubt about it, they will be through, they'll get through to the quarterfinals. And it'll be interesting to see who to draw then. But they are a little bit more vulnerable than they have been in the last few years. And I just feel myself, Tom, that a lot of people point their finger at the attack. But I've just seen a looseness and a kind of the back line, in particular in the full back line, being exposed this year. Not so much that the boys are playing individually poorly, but in the fact that there isn't that kind of solidness and link between the half back line and the full back line that would give you a bit of confidence that they're not going to concede much. And I just sense that maybe that could have been developed a little bit more this year. You know, the kind of defensive systems that they have in Ulster, that to me hasn't been worked on enough in Mayo. And I just think they're a little bit vulnerable at the back.
Anyway, enough about Mayo and Sligo. And I know John Hearn obviously has an interest in Sligo, and he'll be keeping his ear to the ground and ear to the radio on Sunday on that particular one. What of Donegal and Monaghan, Martin?
Well, I think Donegal have a little bit too much for Monaghan. Like, I was just looking at the stats there before I came on the programme with you, Tom. Like, in the three games that Donegal have played to date, like, Donegal have conceded 10 scores, an average of 10 scores a game. And Monaghan, in their two games to date, against Fermanagh and against Cavan, have conceded 14 scores. And I think therein lies a little bit of a kind of an indicator that the Donegal defensive system and the Donegal defending is that little bit superior to what Monaghan have at the moment. And I think also there's a number of Donegal players playing very well. I love the way McFadden played the last day. I thought he looked rejuvenated. And Michael Murphy, again, no more than Aidan O'Shea Mayo, Michael Murphy is playing fabulous football for Donegal. And I just think the player of the season for me so far has been Neil Gallagher at midfield. I think the guy has assumed a leadership role this year that I hadn't seen in the past. And I just think if they get it right at the back, and if they actually manage to get, you know, all of their forwards kind of playing to the top of their form, I think they'll carry a little bit too much for Monaghan on Sunday.
And tell me, you mentioned there, if they get it right at the back, that kind of, you know, goes against the grain, because the one thing that Donegal has seemed to have done over the last few years under Jim McGuinness is they got it right at the back.
Well, I thought, funny enough, the last day, like, I mean, I was at the Tyrone game. I thought they were excellent that day. I thought, like, that was a dogfight, simple as that. It was a case of trench warfare, who was going to kind of last the longest, and Donegal did that. Now, the second day out against Armagh, I think Armagh just didn't put up any show against them, and Donegal exploited that. The last day, why I am saying if they get it right at the back, I thought the last day the structure was right, the players were in the correct positions, but I didn't think the intensity in the tackling that we associate with Donegal was present on the day. And I think, you know, against Derry rather, and I think that has to be rediscovered on Sunday against Monaghan if they are to actually kind of go and win. But I've no doubt about it, they have addressed that, they're capable of improving and going up another notch or two, and you know, that's why I kind of maybe threw in a little bit of a doubt about it, but I think they have a time to address it, and the intensity that may not have been there at the back the last day against Derry, I think you'll see it in spadefuls on Sunday.
Okay, Martin, I hope you can stay on the line for a moment, because we're travelling a little bit further down the coast. We're heading to Killarney, and a very good night to our very good friend Weishi Fogarty. Good night, how are you?
Well, fine, thank you, Tom.
And, well, you're looking forward. We'll get your thoughts on Donegal and Monaghan and how it's viewed down there in the deep south, shall we say, in the kingdom, the home of football. You all set for the replay in Killarney on Saturday night?
Yeah, there's great anticipation, Tom. I can tell you everybody's looking forward to the replay, because the draw game was an absolutely cracking game altogether, and they're expecting a massive crowd. Yeah, there's great anticipation, and I tell you, everybody's waiting anxiously and patiently, if you like, to hear the Kerry team.
Yeah, and tell me, just before we talk about that game, how come it's back in Killarney? You know, normally when the replay it goes to the other county, or the county that's away from home.
Usher Park, Cleve is not down now, Tom. They're rebuilding it, and they have no place in Cork big enough to hold it.
So yeah, so obviously the some arrangement has to been made, or is it just tough luck, Cork?
No, it is just tough. tough luck, really. It is a kind of a natural progression. I mean, for instance, if it was the other way around, Owen Fitzgerald Stadium was unavailable, well, to be played in Cork, it wouldn't go to neutral venue. There is an arrangement that every second year Cork can carry a player, and where there's a problem, then like that would go to come back to Killarney. So I think Parky Keefe is opening in 2 years' time, so they'll probably get an extra game then, probably, Tom.
You say much interest in the Kerry selection?
Yeah, I tell you, because there was fierce controversy, if you like, since the drawing game, about the selection for the drawing game. In particular, since the game has been over, I can tell you that Eamon Fitzmaurice and the selectors, they've come in for a fair bit. They all stick down here now, I tell you the truth, Tom, because most people, well, from my own point of view anyway, I can't understand for the life of me why Anthony Maher was dropped. Unless he was injured, we weren't told he was injured. We weren't told he was carrying an injury. We couldn't understand why he was dropped, because himself and Moran, we considered the best midfield partnership last year in the country and in the league. And then they took off Brian Sheehan with about 20 minutes to go, and he was the man you'd be relying on to kick the freeze. Then Colm Cooper didn't start, and that's a bit of a puzzle. Then O'Mahony, who had a brilliant game in the All-Ireland final, he didn't start either. So from the All-Ireland final last year, Tom, to the game against Tipperary, there was 8 changes. And then from the Tipperary game to the Cork game, the drawing game, there were 6 changes. So you can be a bit sure now there'll be another 4 or 5 the next day. So it's an unsettled Kerry team.
Do you expect the Gooch to be back?
I think that, you see, the problem is that they didn't start him the last day, because himself and James O'Donoghue, both of them were coming back after very serious injuries. So I wasn't surprised that he didn't start the last day, but I would expect him to start the next day. Now, he's not a player, really, to come on. There are some players, they used often the term super subs, bringing on fellas, and they play better. Some players, Tom, they're just not good enough to come in and get to the pitch of the game straight away. And the last day he came on, he found it very difficult. He just didn't get going, really. So I'd expect them to start him the next day.
Kerry expected to win the replay. They don't do second chances.
Don't do second chances as a rule, and you'd expect the Eamon Fitzmaurice and the selectors that have learned an awful lot. From the Cork point of view, of course, then, I'd say that the Cork gave away, as you probably saw on the television, they gave away a very easy goal that they dropped it inside the square, which was a terrible mistake. And then Cork got a penalty, which in my view wasn't a 100% penalty. It wasn't a penalty at all. So they gave away 2 very easy goals. The big thing now, Tom, is can they raise their game further, and can they improve? And can their changes around a little bit? We'll have to wait and see, because Kerry definitely we'll be expecting Kerry to win. We expect to win at midfield, and that'll probably do us, maybe, hopefully.
And tell me, Weishi, and the clock is pressing us here, what's the view in Kerry? Are you much interest in the Ulster final?
Oh, sure, listen to me, we've interest in every final down here, Tom. We'd be watching all the finals closely. Particularly, we're watching Donegal, we're watching Dublin, and we're watching Mayo in particular. And of course, we have fierce interest in Donegal. And despite the fact that Donegal, there a few years ago under Jim McGuinness, that they got that reputation of all the 13 and 14 men defending, a lot of people down here are turning towards Donegal. And I believe myself this year that they're playing better football this year than they did even under Jim McGuinness when they won the All-Ireland. I think they're more relaxed looking. I think they're playing easier. I think they're fresher looking. And I think they're more composed on the ball. And with Neil Gallagher on the middle of the field there, I was listening to Martin there on his right, I think Neil Gallagher in the middle of the field is playing tremendous football. And then, of course, you have Michael Murphy. Yeah, with Donegal. See, the big thing about Kerry and Cork now is that the losers play Kildare the following Sunday. Mm. And then the winners play Dublin the following Sunday after that then, Tom. So I can tell you there's a lot riding in the Munster final, and we'll be watching Donegal and the Ulster final closely. To tell you the truth, I love watching Donegal at the moment, even though I was against their style at the start. I was totally against it, but I tell you, I'm coming around a bit to them, Tom.
And tell me, you'd play Michael Murphy if you had him in Kerry closer to goal?
Well, suppose all that depends, Tom, on the people that you're playing, but there's no doubt in my mind he'd be a fella like, we'd probably use him like Kieran Donaghy now. Donaghy is being used a lot in that respect now. That's the one place where Dublin might be slipping up a small bit, and we saw them the last day. They have no plan B. If Dublin had Michael Murphy now or Kieran Donaghy, that they could have a plan B in around the high, when they're playing the Mass Defence, they'd be probably a better team. But Michael Murphy, oh yeah, definitely, he'd be played, I reckon he'd be playing played around the goal, probably around the full forward position of Kerry had him, Tom.
And finally, Weishi, before we let you go, obviously Tyrone and Tipperary are in action in the qualifier in Semple Stadium on Saturday. You've seen Tipperary this year. What do you give their chances against Tyrone?
Yeah, that's a fascinating game, Tom, and it is amazing. Now, what happened to Tipperary against Kerry in the first round, I think myself, Tipperary did an awful lot of talking before the Kerry game. They were saying they were waiting for Kerry, they had a great chance of beating them, and they had this and they had that, and instead of keeping their mouth shut and saying that a few injuries or something and things weren't going well, they'd have done better because Kerry were ready for them. But I tell you now, you'd expect Tipperary now to give Tyrone a good run of it. A betting man would probably put his money on Tyrone, but Tyrone aren't going great either at the moment, Tom. They're finding it very difficult to win games, and you know what, it's one game that you could see a big upset in. Tipperary are going well, they have a lot of young players coming through, they're playing at home, and and I saw them against Kerry, and I can tell you they should have scored more against Kerry. They left themselves down a little bit that day.
Anyway, look at Weishi, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again no doubt during the course of the summer.
Nice talking to you, Tom. Bye.
Okay, the clock is pressing us. My thanks also to Martin Carney there. Martin, of course, who joined us from his home in Castlebar. Looking forward to that Connacht final, of course, as well. And he's going to be working for RTÉ in Clonus on Sunday afternoon. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes to go. We'll wrap up with Adrian Sweeney, John Hearn and Maureen O'Donnell are here in studio with me. And first of all, we go to Adrian. Looking forward to the game, looking for team selection, Adrian, you expect any changes from the team that started the last day against Derry?
I don't really, Tom. I would say we'll probably be going along expected lines. Sunday promises to be a cracker. I mean, these two teams, as we've said tonight, know each other fairly well, and there promises to be some great matchups there on Sunday. I mean, you have the likes of Vinnie Corey against Murphy, possibly, and Kieran Hughes v. Emma McGee, McManus versus Neil McGee. So, you know, I think myself and somebody, the team that plays down the marker early on, and these personal duels that are going on all over the park, whoever lays down the marker and gets on top, I'll have a big bearing on what happens in the game. Teams will set up, you know, as we know, the wall defensively, and it'll be a case of a counter-attack, and the team that uses the ball, you know, at best, will come out on top in the end.
Would you, like Martin Carney, have any fears about Donegal? Maybe not just as tight at the back as they should be or have been the last time out against Derry?
Yeah, possibly not. Maybe there was an air of complacency after coming in from a good performance or an excellent performance against Armagh, and maybe there was a wee bit of complacency there. I think on Sunday, having, you know, we were caught in the hop a wee bit in 2013, maybe the hunger wasn't there, but I would imagine on Sunday that Rory let the boys well fired up, and you know, as I said, I think it's important that we get off to a good start and later in the marker in the game, it will have a bearing as the game goes on, you know. Defensively, I think we've been fairly sound, and I mean we have the sprinkling of probably better forwards and the likes of Murphy and where McNeil's kicks a score or two, whereas Monaghan are very dependent on the likes of Conor McManus and Kieran Hughes too, whereas Donegal can get scores from their half-back lane and their half-forward lane as well as McBurdy inside.
John Hearn, of course, here with us in studio. Well, John, in terms of Donegal, as a Donegal supporter heading to Clonus on Sunday, what aspects of Monaghan would worry you? What do you think that obviously the areas where Monaghan can, if they're going to win it, win it?
Well, I think, Tom, they can compete at midfield. You know, Neil this last while has been very good for us at midfield, but Neil will get his fill of it the next day. But Neil is well able to handle it, and so is Martin McElhinney and McNeil is around there. But, you know, with Big Lennon and McAdam and, you know, throw Darren Hughes about there. So, you know, Monaghan are going to compete at midfield. They've good forwards, Tom. You know, McManus is good. Kieran Hughes is good.
And yet he hasn't... I was just looking, actually, in the last two games, he was no more than Michael Murphy. He hasn't been a factor when it came to scoring in either of those games.
Yeah, not from play. Good enough from the frees, but no, not getting a lot from play. And, you know, maybe you would think... all right, Fermanagh, but you know they're decent. But you thought he'd only
no, but I'm talking about the last two games with Donegal.
Donegal, right? Yeah,
I think he scored 2 points or something.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So Neil McGee has the handle on
Neil
him.
Neil McGee has the handle on him. You know, the big keeper
comes and the same with Michael Murphy.
Yeah,
actually.
Well, that's it. You know, and the keeper can come up and he's a good free taker for Monaghan, so they can kick points from out the field. So Donegal need to watch their discipline and not give away too many frees. Monaghan are full of aggression, Tom, and you know they're nasty with you know. The wee boy at the right half back, Moan.
Desi Moan.
And not nasty, but you know, they're full of grit and hard. And then yeah. Colin Walsh and the Wiley boys, you know, the other brothers playing now. And all them, they're tough boys. And when Dick Clerken comes on them and Finlay, you know, they're experienced and they know what it's about. And, you know, the thing is, they don't fear Donegal. So the man's going to be confident.
And tell me, what do you make of what we heard from Udi Hughes earlier that, you know, Donegal have about 17 players, Monaghan have probably 19, 20?
Well, that's what I've, you know, watched in Monaghan, that they've used these subs coming off the bench. They're older players, more experienced, and they're getting the most out of them. And, you know, we go back to last year, Tom, we got to an All-Ireland final and we were very unlucky and didn't, you know, maybe play in the day, but we're missing three or four players. You know, Leo's back now, but he's only back, you know, Rory Cavan.
Do you expect him to start? Do you expect the team to change much?
I don't think so, but I think Leo will.
What are you hearing of Patrick McBearty? You know, there's talk that he's still injured, carrying him off.
Well, you know, you don't hear much coming out of the camp, but he seemed to struggle against Derry. You know, they say he was struggling after 15 minutes, but, you know, you would worry, Tom, that maybe Rory thinks he hasn't got enough quality on the bench to replace him that early in the match, you know. Although, yes, you could.
Yeah.
You take it last year, Tom, we were taking on Christy Toy, we were taking on Michael Honey, and we were taking on McBearty.
Yeah.
They were the three subs.
Rory Cavanagh's no longer there.
Rory Cavanagh's no longer there. And Anthony Thompson's a big loss. I know he's there, but to me, he's not really there. It's not easy on him. He's in London and it's hard to make a training. So, you know, Anthony Thompson's a brilliant player, but when he's not at home and not training, he can't contribute the way you would like him. But he'd be there to come on and no better man, you know, we need him.
And Maureen O'Donnell, where do you see it? What do you see as the key battles or the key areas? Or
I suppose
Hunger you've mentioned before.
Yeah, I suppose Murphy's a big player and he's a big aspect of the Donegal team now at the minute, and you know Monaghan will be looking to close him down, and the likes of himself and Neil Gallagher in the middle of the field, who as some of the rest of them said that they're playing very well at the minute. But as far as it goes the weekend, I'd be expecting Donegal to win. Maybe it'll be a low scoring game. I would say a very tight game, and Monaghan will be looking to outsmart Donegal's defensive setup again, as they did in 2013, you know. But I think to be fair to the boys, they're playing a lot better now at the minute. The football's really flowing with them. They look fit, and they're a lot more confident going into the game on Sunday now. And after the Derry game, you know, it was a very good game, very tight game. So I'd be expecting now that they'll be going in with all guns blazing on Sunday.
So Maureen O'Donnell has opted for Donegal. John Hearn, you're going?
Oh, Donegal all the way, Tom.
And Adrian Sweeney?
Donegal by 2 or 3, Tom.
Now, good, that wraps up our GA programme special tonight. My thanks to John Hearn and Maureen O'Donnell here in studio, to Adrian Sweeney on the phone, to our special guest Weishi Fogarty and Martin Carney, and also before that, Eugene Udi Hughes. That's about it from me for this week. Slán agus beannacht, and from Marty Freeland Sound, EY.